I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. Well, you would think they were crazy if you didn't understand their culture and their religion. See, that's just the thing. They were worshippers of idols, and they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted, they danced, they made sacrifices to their idols. They had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. You don't really relate, do you? Let's try it again. I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. See, that's just the thing. They were worshipers of idols, and they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted, they danced, they made sacrifices to their idols. They had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. Idol worship. It's not just about golden calves anymore.
Pastor Rich said I went too far with that video. I don't care. I got a question, though, for you this morning. What is your idol? That's kind of a silly question. I mean, I doubt any of you have a golden calf or anything sitting on an altar in your house that you lift up sacrifices to, right? If you do, please come and talk to us after the service, okay? So let me ask you a different question. What do you value most in life? What do you go to when you're happy or when you're sad or when you're scared? I brought a few things with me today that would kind of be the things that I value most. And just in case this gets back to my wife, I can't fit my wife in the box. I really value my wife, okay? No question about it. I value my phone. How many of you have a cell phone? Yeah. They're awesome, right? This, I would get so lost without this. I absolutely love it. So it's one of the things I value. I've got one for you. Oh, what about TV? Interestingly enough, you can win this TV at the trunk or treat if you sign up for and have the best decorated trunk, okay? But I love TV. I love coming home after, you know, a stressful day and sitting in the recliner, putting my feet up and just watching TV. I love it. I love the Cardinals. I love watching the Cardinals. That's the only team I watch. If you're a Cubs fan, the door's right there, okay? But I enjoy the Cardinals. I enjoy baseball. Any of you like candy? Yeah. I like candy, too. I don't like these fun-sized ones. I don't think there's anything fun about small candy, but here's one you probably won't see a pastor pulling out. Bourbon. I like bourbon. One of my favorite things to do at the end of the week is to sit out on my deck with a glass of bourbon and a nice cigar and just sit there. I like this stuff. In case you want to buy any for me. How many of you like money? Don't lie, devils. Come on. You like money. I like money too. That's all I'm going to say about that. See, all of these things right here are good things. All of these things that I put up here have the ability to bring people closer together. All of these things have the ability to serve God. And I would go so far as to say each and every one of these things here is a gift from God. But it happens so often in our lives where gifts become gods. Where gifts become gods. And maybe you're sitting here and you say, you know, we don't have that problem. We're in worship today. And I understand that. And we're so glad you're here. But just because you're here in worship today does not mean that you don't serve a different God Monday through Saturday or Sunday afternoon. Just because you're sitting here and you read the creed and you sing the hymns and you put your smile on and your Sunday best, that does not mean you are exempt from the reality of going to God last all the time. See, it's kind of interesting when you start to become introspective, which I did this last week, how many things become elevated up to or over God in our lives. Up to or over God. And that's really the definition of an idol. An idol is anything we fear, love, or trust more than God. Martin Luther, the medieval reformer, defines it in the Large Catechism, which I think you should all read, as a God is anything that we go to for happiness or that we go to for refuge. And so working from those two definitions, it's pretty clear, in my opinion, that there are a lot of gods in our life that we don't even recognize. I would bet that a lot of you sitting here right now are worshiping something throughout the week that you don't even really realize that you're worshiping, but it's become so much of a priority to you, you fear, love, or trust it more than God, and maybe don't even realize it. And that's what we see in Isaiah. Directly behind the reading that we read today, Isaiah 45 is part of a larger narrative, and it goes back to Isaiah 44. And in Isaiah 44, God says to his people, you are an idol-making factory, that all you do is take things of creation and craft them into something and then worship it as the creator in some way. And that's not what God desires, but that's what people do. That's what you and I do. We're not necessarily making golden calves around here, but when God doesn't do exactly what we want him to, when God doesn't act exactly like we think he should act, when we pray and we don't get the result we expect, or in some ways when God seems absent, we want something to hold on to. And it's because we are a people who enjoy instant gratification. We want something there. We want to hold on to something. We want to be able to look at something. A perfect example of this happens in Exodus 32. In Exodus 32, Moses goes up to the mountain to talk with God, and the people are left down at the foot of the mountain, and after about 40 days, they start to worry, you know, maybe Moses died. And so naturally, they think, okay, well, we've got to have something to hold on to. We have to have something to worship. We have to have something to look to for help. And so they took off all their jewelry, and they melted it down, and they made this golden calf, something to hold on to. A kind of a loose comparison for maybe our modern day is this, that every time I get in a car with Pastor Rich while he's driving, I hold on to that handle above the door on the passenger side for dear life. So when he barges out to traffic, going 90 miles an hour, I think this is what's going to save me, when in reality that's not going to save me. But it makes me feel good to hold on to it. It was 80. It was fast. But it makes me feel good to hold on to it. It gives me some sort of temporary relief from the problems that I'm experiencing while he's driving. It's something that briefly helps me get through things. And that's what an idol is, right? I mean, that's what a lot of things in our life are. It just offers temporary relief. Temporary relief. So let me ask you again, what do you value most in life? What's most important to you? I love my phone. This phone allows me to stay in contact with friends across the country, but it's so funny because there's times in the day where I have all the time in the world to browse social media or to update Instagram or text back my friends, but I don't have time to spend in God's Word, and I have 3 Bible apps on here. What about TV? I mean, this TV is a great thing. Did I mention that you could win this, a trunk or treat, if you sign up down the hall in the information hallway? This can be yours. This is a nice TV. But what happens when all you do is come home and you sit in front of the TV and all you do is watch Young and the Restless or old John Wayne movies or whatever else, and you just waste your life away? you live a limited existence. This gift can easily become a god. But don't let that, you know, stop you from signing up for Trunk or Treat, okay? What about sports? I mean, sports are a great thing. Sports have the ability to bring people together. And yet, if you are okay with not gathering with God's people at all because you find it more important to put on a cheese head or whatever else you want to do, then there's something wrong there. I had a little girl ask me in the middle of my sermon, which was kind of cute, at the 8 o'clock service, she said, "Can kids become idols?" I said, "Definitely." Because when you take your kids and you say that sports, you want to fill their life with sports and activities, and suddenly you make it to where they have no time to grow spiritually, but you want them to be the next NBA star, you have made your child your god. Gifts can easily become gods. What about candy? I mean, when you eat 500 of these in an effort to take away the pain, when you try to eat your emotions, this can become your god. What about this? This is a good gift. This is a gift from God, and yet when you come home after a really long, stressful day, or you come home to celebrate a promotion or whatever else, and you knock back 6 or 7 glasses of this, you'll destroy your life. And I've seen it happen to a lot of my family. Happiness does not rest at the bottom of this bottle. This can easily become your god. Or what about money? I mean, money's a good thing. Money buys homes. You're not going to buy a home with $20. But money does good things in the world. But when you start measuring your life on how much of this you have saved up, when you stop being generous because you're worried about how much of this you have, even though God has always provided for you in the past, this can easily become your god. See, Scripture is pretty clear. You can't have two masters. You can't. And I would say that the worship of these items and the worship of so many other things, I mean, we could bring up golf clubs or nice cars or whatever else it is and put it up here. It's a side effect of a greater problem, which is mixing up the role of creature, created, creation, and creator. See, creation, all of these items here, are meant to serve God in some way, not to take the place of God. And so if you're experiencing in your life how one of these have become your god and you still feel a little disappointed, you should, because this is not God. There should always be a void in your life if you are worshiping other gods, because it can't offer lasting satisfaction. In Isaiah 45, when God says, "I am the Lord, there is no other," it's a statement of his sovereignty. It's a statement that there's no other way. But if you listen closely to the words that God uses throughout Scripture, it's also an echo of the pain due to the fact that you are the object of his affection, but that's not always reciprocal. It's almost as if God is saying, "What more do I need to do to show you that I love you? What more do I need to do to show you that I want your whole heart and not just part of it?" Because I'm telling you right now, there's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. You either believe in Jesus and you follow him, or you don't. See, and God has tried to chase after people since the fall of man. When Adam and Eve chose bad over good, God sent prophets and messengers and judges and angels and every other thing. And then finally, baby Jesus enters the picture. In no other religion other than Christianity will you find a God who makes himself part of creation. No other religion. It is unique to Christianity that God would humble himself in the form of a baby. It's unique to Christianity that God incarnate would come and live perfectly and eventually be humiliated and crucified. That's all uniquely Christian. See, 2,000 years ago, and you know this story, 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus Christ who was nailed to a cross. But he wasn't just any man. I mean, this was the Son of God. He's fully God and fully man. If he wasn't God, then his death would mean nothing for you. So God incarnates himself and dies because he loves you. It's so that your sin, so that your idolatry would not have the last say. And that's the beauty of Jesus, is that Jesus comes into your life knowing all the habits and hang-ups and whatever else that you hold on to and says, no, you got to get rid of those. There's no way you're going to enter into eternal life through this TV or this phone or this bottle of bourbon or whatever else. There is one way to life, and that is through Jesus Christ. See, when we take gifts and make them into gods, we pull ourselves away from truth. When we take gifts and make them into gods, we pull ourselves away from life. When we take gifts and make them into gods, we become defined by that which we worship. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be defined by how much money I have in the bank. I don't want to be defined by how good I am on social media. I don't want my kids to remember me for how much time I spent in front of the TV. I don't want to have a legacy from my wife of how much of this I drank every day, okay? When these gifts become gods, it destroys your life. Because Jesus is the only thing that can fill the void. Jesus is the only thing that can offer lasting relief. Any of these things up here, you can flee to for refuge. And it will pacify the pain, but it won't eradicate it. You can drink 100 bottles of this, however long you want to. You'll probably get a new liver at the end of it, but another thing will happen is you will experience no more joy than you did before. It's a simple fact. So let me ask you, what do you value? What's most important to you? If your answer is Jesus Christ, which I would guess for most of you that is true, since you're sitting here on a Sunday morning, I feel like I'm kind of preaching to the choir, but you all need to hear it. If your answer is Jesus Christ to what's most important for you, then make it a priority. Make it a priority. Get off your phone in the morning. Quit checking Facebook. Just turn to that Bible app or pray. I'll tell you what, when I first got here, I had a terrible routine to where I would try and get everything out of the way in the morning and then try and find time to grow in my faith in the afternoon. Well, I'll tell you what, the afternoon ran out. But I see Pastor Rich every day come in his office. He sits down, and the first thing he does is he opens up his Bible. You don't have to spend an hour a day doing that. You know, our schedule is a bit different because we're pastors. You pay us to do this. You pay us to read the Bible. That's great. I'm not going to be able to pay you for that. But if it's a priority for you, if Jesus is a priority, let it be reflected in your life. Not just in coming to worship on Sunday, but every day throughout the week, who is it that you serve? On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when people look at you, do they say, oh man, he worships his phone. She worships the candy. Or they say, wow, they worship God. Now's the time to get your priorities back in line. Why? Because Jesus loves you. So do I. Amen.